Hello and welcome to episode 200 of the Enough Podcast. My name is Mike Curley, and I have been joined many, many times by Mr. Patrick Roan.
Too many times, apparently. How are you, sir?
I am very well. I am overwhelmed that we have done this for so long, and thank you for being here.
200 episodes of Enough. Too much enough, if you ask me. There's just an irony there.
Right? There is no end in sight, though.
Oh, man. Really? How long have we been at this? 200 episodes. And that's like, so keep in mind that, you know, we used to do two episodes a week, which, you know, was just, that was just crazy.
January 2011. So over 2 years.
Wow, really? It's been that long. Holy cow. It's kind of the show that made 70 Decibels into a network, right? I mean, it was just the bro show.
Well, yeah, this is the second show that I did. So there were a bunch of shows. I don't really know if there's one specifically that sort of pushed me over the edge. But this show definitely helped get me to where I am now. Without it, there probably wouldn't be anything else.
I don't know about that. I mean, you would have created some other show, or someone else would have done some other show or something like that. I don't know if
that's not how it happened.
Certainly it helped.
It certainly helped.
Well, that's so great.
It's been a long time.
It has been. I mean, wow, we've done some amazing shows. We've done some utterly boring shows. We've done some mediocre shows. We've done some pretty good shows. I mean, it's been all over the map, you know. But
I'm happy with it.
Yeah, overall, I'm very happy with it. I mean, just kind of you know, mentally ticking through some of the, you know, some of the faves. There's, you know, of course, the very first one. You know, the early ones tended to focus a lot more on the kind of, you know, simplicity, minimalism sort of thing. But that could only run its course for so long. And
yeah, we did. We used to do. Then we went through a sort of stage talking about apps and sort of home screens and things that we enjoyed. And then there was How Bare Is Your Air?
Oh yes,
we did that for a while, right?
We did that for a while. Gosh, that was great. We should do more of those.
We could go back to that. We could maybe do it with something else.
I mean, we could do it with like iOS devices. How Bare Is Your
iDevice
or something?
Yeah, we need.
But How Bare Is Your Air just has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, I don't think that was always the name, was it? Yeah, it was just you know, you've got a 64 GB MacBook Air. What are you going to put on it? Type feel.
Like, I wonder, like, you know, what are people doing with these, like, you know, with these 8 GB phones? You know, I mean, obviously, there's not a lot of space on there for music and whatnot. You know, so how do you manage that? How do you pick and choose? Right? You just have your little playlist and sync a little subsection of it, and, you know, maybe just some of your favorite photos, but not like your entire library.
Even 16 GB, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is standard now.
These things can get tight these days. I mean, what's interesting, here's something fascinating. Now we're kind of venturing off topic, and maybe this isn't so fascinating but to other people, but I find it fascinating. So the iPad Mini, I got it for like my birthday, like back in October, sometime. And, you know, just taking a look here under usage. Okay. This is, so I got the 32 GB model, you know, figuring, hey, you know, it's going to replace the iPad I had. And the iPad I had was an iPad one with 64 gigs. And I was only using about half of that space. So I figured, you know, and most of that half was actually kind of movies and stuff that I keep on there for the little girl anyway. So, I thought to myself, well, you know, let me, you know, I think I could probably get a 32 gig iPad mini and be okay. But kind of early on, the mini just became a very focused device for me. And it wasn't necessarily a conscious decision, but it's just something I did. So all of this is leading up just to say, I'm only using 5.9 gigs of that 32. I've got 22.4 gigabytes available on this thing.
Mine's nearly full up.
I know. Is that just crazy? And like, I don't know why.
Games and comics have just fill it right up. I've got no space. Seriously, I have to like delete things frequently from my iPad. I have the 16 gig model too.
Wow.
But I have a 16 gig phone now. My Android phone is 16 gigabytes, and I've got loads of space.
Yeah. Yeah, but the iPad, you keep filling up. Huh?
But I think part of the problem is, you know, I have a lot of photos. I had the 4,000 photos in the photo stream. And on my iPhone has like 6-7 gigabytes of photos on it. You know, I never delete a photo from my iPhone, really, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people are like that. A lot of people, like, you know, never sync and delete. You know what I mean? In iPhoto, they never like sync up with iPhoto, and then, you know, when it asks if you want to, you know, delete these from your camera roll, answer yes to that question, and just boom. And a lot of people like just never bother removing pictures from their phone at all. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, that kind of freaks me out. I'd have to. Just for backup purposes alone.
Well, it's all backed up to iCloud.
Yeah, it's all backed up to iCloud, I know, but still, you know, I don't know. I'm a freak about backup.
Anybody that's listened to the previous 199 episodes know that I don't even back up.
Oh, man, yeah. And everyone who's listened to any of the previous 199 episodes know that I have multiple copies of just about everything because I'm a freak about backups. You can never have enough backups. And when I feel like I don't have enough backup, I start to get twitchy. Seriously. So I don't know. What are some of your other kind of favorite things we've done? I mean, well, some of the guests we've had on have just been fantastic.
Yeah, we've had great guests. I was thinking though, you know, we were saying about sort of things that we've done over time. We had like the running series where you were getting fit.
Oh yeah, yeah. We talked about running quite a bit.
Running and fitness. We spoke about that a lot.
We've
spoken a lot about important things like mental health issues and things like that.
The infamous episode 14.
Episode 14. And just, I think that the thing, you know, we changed the format. I think that was probably my favorite thing that we've done on the show is that we changed how the show was. I was very happy that we went to.
Yeah, it took some kind of dragging along on my part.
Yeah,
I will be perfectly honest to say that I wasn't so sure at first, and it took quite a bit of convincing from Michael to kind of get me to come on board with that. I think it was the right move in the end.
I mean, there was the time where I started talking in the show, which was nice for everyone, I think. I just didn't say much. I was so intimidated.
I don't know why. That's the thing.
I just felt like who was coming to this show to listen to me? They were coming to listen to you. And they were. They are. That's why they're here. They want to hear what Mr. Patrick Rowan has to say. Back when Minimal Mac, you know, was photos of desks.
Look, so I've said this before to you, like, you know, kind of after dark, as it were. Just last week, in fact. You're a tremendous interviewer. And I enjoy being interviewed.
Yeah, I wasn't though.
Well, but you are now. I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily say that you weren't then. I guess my point being is that, you know, I even think at times now, sometimes you kind of sit back and don't have as much to say. But then when I tune into Command Space, for instance, you're a tremendously good interviewer and always draw fascinating stuff out of the folks that you are interviewing, whether it be Merlin Mann or Jonathan Colton or Brett Terpstra, or, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it's a true skill and art that and gift that you have that I think makes the show that much more interesting, and think that we should do it kind of more often here.
The you thing know? Is, I, though, I mean, I'm preparing those episodes, you know, questions for like a week. I don't know if I would have enough questions for you every week.
Yeah, well, especially since a lot of times we don't even know what we're going to talk about until we get on the Skype call with each other, but figure it out 5 minutes before. And a lot of times that's just me saying, oh, this is what's going through my head right now, sort of thing. You know,
yeah,
Roderick on the line style, as yeah. it were.
Well, because you are a thoughtful man, trying to pronounce my THs properly.
it's hard for you Brits.
It's very difficult for me. you are a thoughtful man, and because of that, that's one of the great things about the way that this show is made, is you always have something to talk about, because you're always thinking about things. And so you know, you just, something will happen and you will bring it to the show and you will talk about it. And a lot of the time, because of that, I don't know, I can't prepare, because right. yeah. I, as much as I would love to, I don't live in your brain. I would love to live in your brain.
No, you wouldn't.
I oh, think it would be an exciting excursion.
That's a very cluttered and confused place, full of lots of deep holes to dive down and get lost in, but nothing really of substance happens there. And I agree, that is part of the problem. Maybe we should work on improving that. Maybe I should, you know, we should. Yeah, especially as we're kind of moving to this big, larger network and probably gaining more audience, maybe we should work on that a little bit better, I suppose.
Maybe. I mean, I don't think it doesn't work, but we'll see. I mean, there's always time to reinvent yourself. We're like beautiful butterflies, me and you.
Yeah, that's us, beautiful butterflies. Yeah, it's been an interesting couple of years, and I never... Yeah, I certainly have not expected any of the things I've worked on to grow as they have. You know, I think that especially this has really come into its own, such that we can get away with doing that. We can get away with just hopping on and, you know, coming up with a topic, you know, 5 minutes in advance and making something great out of it.
Well, my favorite episodes always have been, and probably always will be, the ones where it's just me and you talking.
Yeah.
You know, that we have affectionately referred to as rambling episodes. you know, and I've always really enjoyed those, because, yeah. you know, we are friends. And this is us getting to just talk, you know,
yeah,
to just gas and have fun, and you know, and it not be. I mean, because our show can be and frequently is quite heavy.
Mm.
So I like it.
There have been times when it's been really too heavy. As yeah, man.
How many times have you cried? Like two or three times during the life of the show. Like this, that's not actually a joke.
No. Episode 14. The post Steve Jobs one,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I think there was one more.
I was thinking about that episode a couple of days ago.
Which one? The post Steve Jobs one?
Yeah, because yeah. I've been re-listening to Hypercritical, and because of that, I'm up to the point now. I just listened to the episode that they recorded after Steve Jobs passed away. I've had that, just the whole thing, fresh in my mind, as well as this. It was really interesting, actually, to listen to that, because to go back through it, you know, they were talking about Steve, you know, just talking about him and the things that he was doing at the company, and then it was like, oh, Steve Jobs was retired now, and then I was like, oh, it's coming, Mm-hmm. It's going to be any episode now. And then it was like, bang, there it is.
Yeah.
Wow. There's that again.
Yeah, I think people forget that. They forget how short a time it was between...
It was weeks. It was weeks.
Yeah. I mean, but it was weeks that seemed to go by just like hours. You know what I mean? Like I know it was weeks in between him saying, oh, I'm going to I'm going to retire, take an extended leave of absence, whatever, going to put Tim Cook in charge, to seeing the reserved thing over the seat at the keynote, the first keynote that Jobs didn't do.
Yeah.
And it then
wasn't
like,
long at all. Wasn't
the
long.
Next day or the day after, I can't remember.
It was the
which.
Next day.
It was the next day, yeah. And seeing that and everyone speculating, oh wow, it must be really bad.
No, I think it was the next day that he died.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah. So when people saw that reserved seat, that empty reserved seat at the keynote, knowing that that was in honor of Jobs, and knowing that for him to not even be there at all meant something.
Yeah.
And probably not something good, you know? And like I said, in my mind's eye, that seems to have happened like within hours of each other, right? Like suddenly sure. he was there, and the next he was gone. And in a lot of ways, yeah, we deify these people, you know. But you know, he's just a guy.
I think he's a legend. He's a hero to both of us.
I think it would be safe
to say.
But you know, I think it's easy to to forget that he was human just like everyone else, and if anything made him different is that he happened to be the right person at the right places at the right times to see opportunity and to take that opportunity. It's one of the things. So for my Apple consulting guide, one of the things I just wrote about literally just this morning, I wrote a chapter on landing your first client and landing clients in general. Basically how do you go about getting your customers? And the main point that I made was that there's no recipe, there's no secret sauce, right? That it's all about seeing opportunity and seizing opportunity. And strangely enough, opportunity oftentimes prevents itself in those places where you're working hard to create it, right? And I think that that's, that if you look at any successful company, any successful individual, that that's exactly what they've done, right? Is that, Michael Jordan would just be, Mike Jordan playing, pickup basketball on a lot somewhere, at 50 years old, if not for being, at the right school, playing for the right team, making the choice to choose to go to this university because of these reasons and this program, making that all of those opportunities he made for himself. They didn't just show up. They didn't just land in his lap. That he worked hard to create the opportunities and create the environment to properly showcase his talent and to exploit that talent, right? Mm-hmm. To put that talent in the best light. Steve Jobs is much the same way, right? Whenever he met with failure, he used it as a chance to not to sit around licking his wounds, but instead to turn around, make some lessons from it, and turn it around, turn it into something good, and to create a whole new opportunity. Right. So, when he saw a friend, at this computer club. With this computer that was made at, a fraction of the cost of anything else out there and was, super simple to program and to do, he created the opportunity to say, hey, this could really make a difference in computing in general. We should do something with this, right? You know? You know, when he saw that, you know, all of the phone options out there were somewhere between, you know, horse crap and garbage, he created, you know, he created the opportunity to seize that area and say, hey, we can do something here that will make a real difference in how mobile phones work, right? How they're designed and how they're perceived and how they're used. You know, that we have all the right pieces to bring this stuff together and to make something of it. And that those pieces wouldn't have been there in place if not for those opportunities that were created beforehand. And when you have an entire company of people, a team of people underneath you whose passion is doing the same, you can't help but be successful, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a lot that can be taken away and applied to us, right? I mean, the fact is that this show, this network, like I said, you know, this show wasn't, you know, the thing that, it's not like, well, if it wasn't for this show, then no, I don't believe that at all. And here's why I don't believe that. And that's because you're the sort of person who sees an opportunity, right? And when you see that opportunity, you capitalize on it and you use it to put yourself into, you know, put your goal in the best light possible and to give it the best chance possible, mm-hmm. right? When you saw some guy on the internet who, you know, seemed to be likable and have some friends, you know, ask for podcast recommendations, you seized the opportunity and sent him one about the Bro Show.
Yep, that's how it works. I must ask you. I must ask you before. Well, I think we should take a break. Have you got somebody in the room with you?
Yeah. Okay, sorry, cool. That is my wife.
That is not a problem. I could just hear a typing noise, and I didn't want. I wanted to just ask because I didn't want people to think that I'm ignoring you.
No, see, now like you're going to make her email. Feel bad because she works very hard when she's up here working to be quiet. And see, now the fact that you mentioned it, now that's going to make her feel self-conscious about it, which I don't want to do, especially because she's not feeling well and she's sick. And quite frankly, she makes twice to three times the amount of money I do. So we need her typing.
I agree. I'm not complaining. I don't want people to think that I am not listening to you. That is all. And I apologize for even mentioning it.
No, it's okay. I'm partly giving you...
I know you are, and it's not fair.
Taking the piss, as you Brits say.
Oh, I have to bleep that.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, it's bad. You can't say that? Yeah, you can't say that here.
Oh, bloody hell.
You can say that, though.
You can?
You can.
Wait a second. Oh, okay. I'm not understanding the rules of this whole British profanity thing.
You don't need to. You just need to understand that I do.
Oh, man. Okay. How can I... How can I offend some British people here? This is what I'm trying to do.
I don't want you to.
Oh. Can I offend some Americans?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we should probably not offend our sponsor by actually, I don't know, talking about them.
Of course. It's important to us. So I'll take just a brief moment in this retrospective episode to talk about our fine friends over at Squarespace who've been on board of this show for a very, very long time. They supported this show and got us to where we are now. So thank you to Squarespace and thank you for them sponsoring Squarespace.com. They give you absolutely everything you need to make an amazing website. Squarespace is a fully hosted, completely managed environment for creating and maintaining a beautiful website, blog, or portfolio. Squarespace gives you all of the tools that you need to build an amazing website. It doesn't matter how experienced you are. You can put something online in minutes. They have beautiful themes. They're very clean. They let your content do all of the talking, and all of Squarespace's themes feature responsive web design, so they restructure perfectly to fit on any screen size. They look great on any and all devices. They have a great drag and drop page building system called Layout Engine that allows you to create custom layouts for each of your pages on your Squarespace site in seconds. You just drag and drop the types of content that you want to be on that page, text, media content, loads more. It's really awesome. They have real-time statistics and analytics that are built into Squarespace. They have a blog importer so you can easily move from your current site provider over into Squarespace. They have award-winning 24/7 customer support, And they have loads more, including Squarespace Commerce, which is their new system that allows you to add a fully integrated store into your website, instantly start accepting payments, manage your inventory, and process customer orders. It's really awesome, and I want you to go and check it out. Go to squarespace.com/70decibels. You can find out more and sign up for a free trial. Squarespace plans start at $10 a month. If you sign up front for 1 year, you'll get 20% off the price overall. If you sign up for 2 years, you'll get 25% off. And use the code 70decibels4, that's 70DECIBELS, and the number 4 at checkout, and you will get an additional 10% off your first order. Thank you very much to Squarespace. Go and check them out. They give you everything you need to make an amazing website.
It's a bargain.
So you promised something special. You promised, you've been, for many weeks, Patrick Rohn has said, it's going to be something special on episode 200, and you've done that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if this is all special or not.
I think so. I mean,
I wanted to do something for it. Like anyone who's listened to the show for the past several weeks has heard us lament that we didn't really have anything special planned for episode 200, and we had no idea what to do. And so what I decided to do last week was just to reach out to some of my developer friends, you know, apps that I like and use, as well as, you know, developers who I like and, well, I don't really use them, but well, I hope they don't think I use them. Well, you know what I'm saying. In any case, so
you mean use in a bad way, not use in a good way.
Yeah. So I reached out to them and said, hey, would you like to donate some promo codes for some free copies of some of your apps? I mean, some of these folks we've had on the show, Matthew Bischoff from Lickability, who make QuoteBook, which if you've listened at all to the show over the couple of years, you know is an app that I just love. I'm absolutely in love with that app. I still am to this day. I think, you know, for what it's designed for, it does the job handsomely and well. And if you have a need for that sort of thing, it's the way to go. My homeboy, Brett Terpstra, who gave some copies of Marked. No?
I don't think Brett got back to us.
Oh, did Brett not get back to us?
I don't think so.
Oh, boy. Brett's in trouble. Okay, well, fine.
He said
fine.
That Brett, I tell you what might be best.
Yeah.
If I...
Yeah, why don't you talk about who we actually received codes from? Because now I've got to get on.
Oh, wait, case. No, I got it. I've got them. I didn't get the email. I've got them. Yeah. Brett did.
Dude, I knew that. I forwarded.
There was too many emails.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's good. It's good. It's good. Right. I'm just very quickly. I'm just
okay.
Putting the codes for Marked in now, and they will be in. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to first explain to people how yes. they can get their hands on these application codes.
Yeah.
Free
okay. All right.
Giveaway.
But we got to talk about the apps.
But that's what we will do.
That's the promise.
I will tell people how we do it, and then I'm going to say each one of them, and then you're going to tell people in a one line why you love them. Do you notice I said one line as well? Did you notice that?
Yeah.
In one word or less. Okay. So in the show notes for this episode, which you can find in your podcatcher or at 70decibels.com/enough. You can find episode 200 from the list. By the way, that's going to be one of the awesome things we move to 5x5 is we'll have show note links that we can give people that they'll be able to understand, because at the moment it's like it's got a date and then it's got some random formatting, because I'm a fool when it comes to setting up URLs and I didn't think that I should use a better system. But that's neither here nor there. So you go to 70decibels.com/enough. It will probably be the top, I mean, by the time, you'll need to get these within the next day or two of the show coming out anyway. But all you need to do is you go and you can click on one of the links and it will take you to a Droplr page. On that Droplr page is a bunch of promo codes. Highlight one, chuck it into the App Store, and you'll see if it's been redeemed. Some of them have links, token.co or something, token.2 links. Those ones, all you need to do is click it and you will be able to redeem the link. So some are copy and paste, some are click and you can redeem the link. It depends what the developer was able to give us. Please be nice. Be a friendly listener to this show. If you really want one of these apps, go for it. But don't go for every one of them.
Yeah.
Give people a chance.
And maybe, you know, let the love spread a little bit.
Yeah.
Take one.
Yeah, take one. Yeah, you know, that would be nice. Yeah, that's a good.
We're not going to limit people. This is an honor system here. We just expect you to be nice, and you know, there's only so many to go around. Certainly not enough to cover every listener of the show. If there's an app that you really, really want, and there's a promo code and it's available or whatnot, just take that one. Don't go for like two or three. Seriously, don't be greedy, folks. This is, you know. You got to live with the rest of these humans on this planet, okay? Be nice to them.
Yeah, but we don't need to say these. We don't need to say that to our listeners.
Our listeners are good people. They're all good people.
There's a good people. Anyway, so these are the apps that we have. We have Drag and Drop. Go.
Oh, Drag and Drop! I use at least several dozen times a day. It is the best way to copy and paste things, move items from one place to another on your Mac, I guess is the best way I can describe it.
Time bar.
Time bar is the way that a timer should work on Mac OS X. Also from Mark, who does drag and drop. And it basically overlays a tick down bar over your entire menu bar, basically a translucent colored timer thing that reduces in size across your menu bar as the time ticks down. It's really great. It's one of these things that once you see it, you'll get it. Once you get it, you'll never know how you used any other timer without it.
We have Drafts for iPad and iPhone.
Oh my gosh, don't even get me started. Drafts is the Swiss Army knife for text on iOS. It is amazing, and the most recent update took it to a whole nother level. It's really great.
There are loads of, if you are a nerd, you are at least aware that people love this. So Ink and Pop for iOS.
Those are from Minimal Tools, a group that I am a part of. Pop is the anti-drafts. it's a one-trick pony. It's designed to just capture text as quickly as possible, and then you can decide what to do with it later by copying and pasting your way out. Ink, same thing, but with sketching, back of the napkin sort of approach for quick sketches. Save them to your camera roll with a flick.
I'm going to rearrange the order, and you'll see why in a moment. Marked.
Marked is the ultimate markdown viewer for the Mac. It allows you to view markdown formatted text and to do all sorts of wonderful things with it, from convert it to HTML to copy it to clipboard in a variety of formats, rich text, HTML text, what have you. Basically, it's a way to work with your markdown files once you've composed them.
And sorry, Brett, for missing your email. And this... I've kept this for last because I probably say this is potentially your favorite app of all time, QuoteBook.
Yes, QuoteBook. Yeah.
We had Mr. Matthew Bischoff of Lickability. He's been on a couple of times on the show.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he's the only developer that we've had on twice.
Yeah. One of the only people we've had on twice. There's not been many people we've had on more than once.
Right, exactly. And so that should tell you something. Like the program a lot, like the guys who are behind it a whole lot.
Program. It's not 1995.
What? That's what they do. They program, right? They write programs.
Yeah, They're programmers and apps. Not programs.
I'm just some guy. I don't understand what
Windows 95, Pat.
I don't know. I don't, you know. Gosh.
I'm sorry.
Give me a hard time.
Are you going to fire me now?
No, I can't fire you. You're the producer. You can fire me, but I can't fire you.
Well, you're the talent. I can't fire you. And that's how our relationship works, everyone.
That's right. It's what keeps us together.
We both want to fire. We both want to fire each other, but can't.
This is great. It's the perfect relationship.
So quote book you love very much.
Yeah, I do love quote book very much. And so, yeah, I mean, so there's a bunch of promo codes there. I had probably a good 100 all told, added up, maybe a little bit more. Yeah, maybe a little bit more. I'm not sure. In any case, bottom line is, it's just our way of saying thanks for listening. For those who have been here for even one episode, or those who have been here for all 200, we really, really appreciate it. Quite frankly, there would be no point in showing up and doing this if not for you.
Yeah,
if you were the reason that we do this for. And you know, because of that, I mean, seriously, completely as usual, and I don't think we said this enough. First of all, thank you. Thank you, all of you, each and every one of you. But the other thing is that we are completely open to feedback and really enjoy getting it. Really enjoy having people say, hey, I'd love to hear you guys talk about this, or what do you think about that? Or, you know, gosh, enough with the Steve Jobs talk already. Can we move on to Tim Cook? Sure, we can. Just let us know.
Yeah, that is always great. I mean, we used to get a lot more of that than we used to. Than we do now, and I just think that the changes. A lot of people, have, you know, I think people when you stop asking, people stop sending. But we'd love to know what people want to hear your opinions on, or my opinions on this show. That's really important. And also to echo what you just said a moment ago, basically, if you were here last week and you're here this week, then I love you and thank you. Doesn't matter when you came on board. The fact that you stuck around with us for however long you have, or maybe this is maybe you've come back to this episode because it's episode 200 and you want to check us out again. I hope that you enjoy the show. I hope you continue to enjoy the show. The show is fun for me and Pat. I feel, and because if it wasn't, you know, we wouldn't keep doing it.
I agree.
Because there's been shows that I've had to stop in the past, you know, things that me and the host feel like, you know, we didn't want to carry on, or we've changed things up. This show hasn't changed that much. All we did was we took the two episodes and put them into one episode. That was the only change that we really made.
Pretty much.
And I feel that it's worked over the last couple of years and the last 200 episodes. And it's a real nice thing to be able to point to something, to anything, and say, I made that. And to have been doing it for so long, and to have people, you know, even if there was only one person coming and listening every week, is awesome. And we love you all for showing up every week, for helping make this show an important part of both of our weeks, and I'm sure, and I hope yours too. And I hope that you continue to listen for as long as we continue to make this show.
I agree. And just to follow up, and I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds here on the whole, you know, get in touch thing here. That goes for all of the shows.
Mm.
Like, even like after things move to 5x5 and whatnot, I think, you know, that's going to remain, right? The fact is that if you would like to hear Mike interview your favorite sci-fi author on Command Space. I'm pulling things out of the dark here. There's no way he's going to even venture down that road, or may even know about that person unless you get in touch and say, hey, have you thought about interviewing this person? Because I think it'd be a great interview, right? And I think it would fit the show. I mean, you never know what could happen. You know, once again, it goes for all the shows, right? You know, if you want to, you know, I'm sure that Brad Dowdy would love to hear about the favorite new pen that you found at your local Staples that he has somehow overlooked. I don't know how that would be since he goes in and he buys every single new pen and every time he goes to Staples, but that's okay.
I don't think he overlooks anything.
Right. But you get what I'm saying, right? You know, maybe there's some notebook you think he should look into. Or guess what? He freshly got into fountain pens. Maybe there's a fountain pen you think that he should try because you'd love to hear his thoughts on it. Boom. There you go. Get in touch. This is how this stuff works, folks. This is an open channel. It goes both ways. It's not just my microphone going into your ears. We need you to get back in touch with us and to say, hey, I like what I'm hearing coming out of there. Or, hey, I'd love to hear this.
So there's a couple of ways you can do that. Email's good. Patrick loves email. Patrick@patrickrhone.com. That's patrickrhone. That's Patrick Roan. And you can, I mean, you can also, there's a, there's a 70 decibels contact page, 70decibels.com/contact. But even better than all of that, well, for me anyway, is to get in touch with me on social networks. I am iMike, I-M-Y-K-E, on Twitter and app.net. Pat is Patrick Roan, P-A-T-R-I-C-K-R-H-O-N-E, on both. I think that this may be the end of episode 200. Would you agree, Mr. Roan?
I would agree.
Here's to many more.
With that, we will chat later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.